Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
My name is Dr. Roger Bond. I've been in practice for around 30 years now. One of the products that I recommend to my patients, I highly recommend, is Balance of Nature, fruits and vegetables. Back in the early 2000s, I began to have some respiratory issues that affected my practice. It affected my family life to the point where I'd come home from work and basically just lay down on the carpet because I was so tired. As I took Balance of Nature, that began to slowly change and the energy came back and was able to enjoy time with my family. I recommend Balance of Nature to all of my patients because it's a product that works.
With three fruit and three veggie capsules, Balance of Nature provides you with all your recommended servings of fruits and vegetables every day. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering 35% off on any new preferred order. Go to balanceofnature.com today and use discount code KATE.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I don't know if you know this. One of the reasons Webster made a dictionary was he was concerned that they were going to try and change the Constitution. And he said, they're not going to change the Constitution by amending it. They're going to change the Constitution by changing the meaning of the words. You know, Webster was right, and that's exactly what they've done.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show. Melissa's out today, and she'll be back next week. And I'm going to take this hour, and I want to give you a lot of connect the dots, shall we? A lot of information in this hour, and I hope all this will make sense, and I hope that I'll do it justice, because some things are kind of scary, and other things I think are maybe there are many of you still looking to connect the dots, and maybe this hour will help you. I certainly hope so. And hat tip to Mike, thank you for pointing me in the direction of an interview that was recently done by Catherine Austin Fitz and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Both women, I think I had Catherine on the show probably years and years ago. Both women, she used to work for the government. And then, of course, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was a physician and internist and basically started exposing what was going on in the vaccine world. So I'm going to touch on that, too, because there's so many interesting things that they brought up that maybe you haven't thought of before. So welcome to the show. You can go to katedalyradio.com, get the podcast, let's get rolling because this is kind of interesting. So at the very, very beginning of the show just now, I played a clip about Webster, and that's kind of interesting because Webster, in putting together his dictionary, really was concerned. Now, history likes to call him a nationalist. They love to go there, don't they? All he really wanted to do was make sure to preserve. He wanted to make sure to preserve the Constitution. He wanted to make sure that meanings stayed, and he was worried about that. Very, very worried that we would change the meanings of words. And right now, I think that's exactly what's going on. I think we're changing the meaning of words to mean something different. And I also think that there's a lot of reverse psychology stuff going on right now. You know, one thing that Catherine Austin Fitz talks about in her years on the Hill is that no matter what the name of the bill is, okay, safe cities or what have you, you always invert the name to the exact opposite to know what it's really about. It's kind of like, well, with anything, actually, you can take a war on something, war on cancer, war on drugs, and it becomes bigger. They don't actually cure it. They don't actually, they're not actually doing something to it. So that kind of thinking. And with the bills, if you'll notice, every single one of them are kind of like, you know, let's make America great. And it's, you know, isn't America wonderful with this new bill? And I love America bill. I mean, it's almost so atrocious. It makes you want to throw up a little bit. Well, I got to thinking a little bit about Operation Warp Speed. You know, one thing that's been really confusing about Trump was that in the very beginning, before he ran for office, he was outspoken about vaccines. And he wasn't shy about doing it. And he said they're dangerous and they can be poisonous and they can have stuff in them, and be very careful about what you're going to take into your body. And I don't know if he had personal instances with this. Some believe he has with maybe one of his children. But regardless, he was vocal about it. And he didn't mind saying anything about that. So in the very beginning of COVID, he was obviously very, you know, oh, wait, now what about this? What about this hydrochloroquine and so forth? And, you know, nobody will want a vaccine. Nobody will want that. Why don't we let people choose? You know, that's not something they probably want. And he was actually pretty resistant to it. Then all of a sudden he switched gears. And if you've noticed, he's gone completely the other way. Now he's, you know, it's Operation Warp Speed, the same guy that invented Gardasil with that horrible, horrible vaccine they're giving to teenage girls and boys that I think is actually making them, I think it's making them prone to sterility. But anyway, problems getting pregnant, things like that. And also death, you know, a lot of injuries with Gardasil. And it really wasn't very tested either. Same guy is bringing you Operation Warp Speed. Well, it's kind of interesting that it's called Operation Warp Speed because usually they give it a name that sounds super rosy, like let's save America, Operation Saving America, right? Because they want you to make you think it's wonderful. But Operation Warp Speed actually isn't very good when it comes to the name of it, when it comes to the testing aspect, right? Because you're immediately going Warp Speed. I don't want it at Warp Speed. What do you mean? I don't want to be the guinea pig. They might as well have just called it Operation Guinea Pig. And so is it almost to the point of reverse psychology? Could it be? Because now he's going, okay, let's kick this out. Let's get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. And now people are starting to kind of back off, right? Even Kamala Harris. Oh, I'm not taking, I'm good. I'm going to wait. You know, it's kind of, and then all of a sudden the WHO, WHO says, oh, what we said was coming out November 3rd. You know what? That's going to come out spring of 2021. They want this thing to last. And there was also a document where World Bank was saying that COVID wouldn't end until 2025. And so there are some well-laid plans with this. And this is what Catherine Fitz and Sherry Tenpenny talk about. They also, so I want to get into this just a little bit. I want to play you some clips about this because this really does get into some crazy stuff. In fact, one of the things they brought up was Windows. Now, we all know Bill Gates and we all know what Bill Gates is famous for. Did you ever wonder why they called it Windows? Is this a gateway into everybody's data? Into everybody's life with the back doors built into Microsoft, putting a computer in every home. Is this a window into everyone's life that they didn't know that they were giving permission to? Because there are a lot of back doors and there are a lot of updates you have to do. And within those updates, what else are they doing? Because right now when you do an update on your phone, isn't it kind of interesting that that the main cell phone operating system, the company behind that, can actually do things to everybody's phone at the same time? Well, are we going to be doing this to humans? The same thing that we just did, that Bill Gates did with Microsoft, as he's the face of Microsoft, by the way, not necessarily the person that was genius and created it. He's just the face of it. He was an opportunist and put in position, actually. Did anybody ever see video of him? He used to rock when he was thinking and he had a hard time answering questions back in the day, back in the 90s. I just wonder if everybody remembers tape from him. He certainly changed his image and changed basically everything about him. And then went into philanthropy real quick. And I think it was to come up with that different persona and also kind of hide what was going on and what he was doing. So the Windows that we look at, I had never really thought about the name Windows and why they named it that. Out of anything they could have chosen. But are they going to be doing the same thing with this vaccine? And that's what these two women during this interview were talking about and concerned about. And so let me take you into, a couple of points on this. All right. So where should we start? Let's start on this a medical emergency order, because the medical emergency order is really telling. When we do an emergency medical state of emergency, it releases the financial coffers in a great way, not just to the medical industries, not just to certain industries, but all of them. Is it kind of like an opportunity? What does it open the door to? And so give this a listen. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. Here we go.
So I want to point out one thing. I don't know how the definition of emergency under the HERP Act compares to emergency under the federal mortgage and federal insurance and financial accounts. But traditionally, when you announced a federal disaster or a federal emergency, you suddenly had very broad powers to take money and spend it in very non-accountable ways. And progressively in cycles, this has become basically, you know, a license to have another bank robbery.
That's so exactly what it is.
Right. At the same time that the medical cartel is doing its bank robbery, then, you know, it's very easy to make deals for all the others and the financial institutions to have bank robberies. So the profitability of an emergency is very strong in a much broader constituency who would want the medical cartel to help them have an emergency.
That's exactly it. You nailed it.
Right.
That's exactly
right.
It, because this is absolutely, so even if people are harmed or knowingly harmed, you've got to prove willful misconduct in order for enforcement action to go forward, which is impossible.
Right. It's impossible.
And then the other thing that makes this so nefarious is that the 1986 Act was just the childhood vaccinations. I've been saying for the last 5 years, adults, they're coming after you next. And that's exactly what this is. And so this piece of legislation that was passed in 2005, there's only a handful of legislators up on the Hill that have longevity, and they wouldn't even know about it. It was buried. And I only know about it because I happened to be writing a book about the bird flu in real time when this was actually happening. And who would know about it?
So true. That was Sherry Tenpenny talking about that with Catherine Austin Fitz. And it really opened the door. When we do states of emergency, talk about the raiding of the coffers in so many different ways, I think that it's hard to fathom just how many ways that's accomplished. And one thing that I do want to cover in this hour is the Defund the Police movement. The Defund the Police movement, as these two women pointed out, is rather interesting because it started with the asset forfeiture laws at the same time in the mid-1980s when the Vaccine Exemption Act went through. And what did that allow for? What kinds of financial profiteering did that allow to happen? And what would Defund the Police movement actually do in the face of COVID-19. And I'll talk about that right when I come back. Because when you really think about it on a broad scale, the reason that Black Lives Matters is going all out with that message, there's a reason behind that. And it could be where some people are going to be profiting and some people are going to be getting a lot more control. I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go to our katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com for the recorded podcast of this live show. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. So glad you're joining me from all over the place. What can I say? Global audience. I love it. And glad you're tuned in, because I wanted to talk about some of these points. I thought these were just really fascinating points talked about by Catherine Austin Fitz and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, both women. One worked on the Hill, the other in Washington and amongst the corrupt nature of what happens in Washington, and the other understands fully what is going on with vaccines over the last 20 years. Tried to warn people 20 years ago about all of this, and people laughed at her. You know, people laughed at Dr. Tenpenny because she just kept trying to say, "You don't realize at some point they're going to try to force all of this." And here we are. So let's talk, shall we? So I'm gonna bring you into this conversation with the two of them, and then I'm gonna talk about. Let me do this first. I just brought up the fact that what is the end? Why is the Black Lives Matter? Why are they so insistent on doing this defund the police? And here she's talking about maybe how some infrastructure was set up to allow some things to happen. Here we go. This is Catherine Austin Fitz regarding the money, the defund the police money.
Regulations, bureaucracies to engineer control. And that's why I said the PERP Act was so very much, and I'm not saying it came out of the bushes once you described the way it went, but obviously they signed it into law. Anyway, once they signed the asset forfeiture fund, once they created the asset forfeiture fund, they built an infrastructure that networked into the state and local enforcement lines and the local police and allowed them to build really train tracks on top of the war on drugs regulations and control that really built up a control grid. And one of the things they did was they took a lot of the defense contractors who were building the control grid in the federal government, and they had them get lots of contracts with the social services departments. And you would come in. There was one contractor who was famous for litigating several cases where they were guilty of sex slave trafficking in foreign contracts. And they had a very, they had a reputation that was compatible with that. Anyway, so I had a couple of run-ins to them. They started to get social service contracts where they were doing support for child services. And given their track record, it was very frightening. Well, I'm watching the other day when they're, you have this push to defund the police, and what they're talking about is moving that money, cutting the police budgets and moving it money over to social services. And I don't think what most people realize is I'm betting that there's a whole infrastructure of defense and corporate, sort of federal contractors ready to grab that money and jump up with contact tracing to be a real Stasi grid. The speed at which they could bring up a control grid in through those mechanisms is frightening.
Yeah.
Very frightening.
Yeah. It is frightening. Had you thought of that as far as defund the police? They brought up a brilliant point about that. And do they have that infrastructure in place? Have they been building that for years? Because we all know with COVID tracing, what a civil rights violation this is to put the health department in a position also where they can just quarantine you whenever they want to. Ohio signing their executive order, putting up facilities to house people, they say voluntarily, that they would like to house away from people in isolation. Very, very strange stuff going on. So what led to all this before I get to the end game and the big trick? Because the big trick is very, very important to understand as far as how this is getting played. So here is the how we actually kind of fell into this spot. Here you go.
Anyway, it's a pleasure. So one of the things that happened to me in the process, I just wrote an article called The Injection Fraud, and in the process of writing it, I found out about the PERP Act. And I believe that absolutely the way to stop all this crazy poisoning
PREP Act
is to take away the freedom from liability from the industry, the companies, the regulators. You know, you've got a whole world of people who are making a fortune because they found a way to get rid of liability. Now, part of that is the 86 Vaccine Compensation Act. But part of it is the PERP Act. And I said to you before, oh, it's just like the Bushies to come up with something like that. So you are a real expert and started to bring this to everybody's attention. Could you tell us about the PERP Act?
Yeah, and I'm glad you've prefaced that by talking about the 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, because that's kind of where it started, that they passed a complete liability protection that you couldn't sue the manufacturers, you couldn't sue for the individual ingredients, you couldn't sue for any type of injury, and they created this false thing called the Federal Court of Claims. Through the Federal Court of Claims, they referred to as the Vaccine court, right, which is just a sham court that's just a nonsense. But that in the 1986 Act, that was specifically designed to just cover the vaccines that are on the childhood vaccination schedule. And right, that's the reason why when they opened that door in 1986 and gave them that liability protection, it was just like opening a checkbook for them to make more and more vaccines, which started the ramp up in 1991 when they added hepatitis B at birth. And that's why every single vaccine that they have made since then goes into the pediatric schedule, because that's where their liability protection is. It has nothing to do with health of children. It doesn't even have anything to do with whether or not those children are going to catch those or contract those infections. The products that they make, that's where they get the liability protection.
I want to stop you right there because this is integrative. We're integrating finance and politics. It was at the same exact time that they created the Asset or Forfeiture Fund at the Department of Justice and set up the relationship in the bureaucracy so the bureaucracy could make money, literally. You know, the division could get money through the appropriations process by seizing other people's assets, but people could get bigger bonuses. So the individuals, you know, and I also think there's an illegal kickback system going on. But for anyway, but they set up a model where the regulators could make money by participating in the process. And when they created that 86 freedom from liability, they also had a process in place where, in essence, the regulators could make money from the vaccine patents. So now we've created a financial juggernaut with profound conflicts of interest,
yep,
where they make a fortune from increasing the vaccines and the vaccine mandates. But then it goes into turbo drive in 2005. So then take us into the PERP Act.
Well, right before that, there was the Project BioShield came into play in 2003. And that's important, because that came off the backside of 9/11, you know, after 9/11,
right,
that they thought that this was a big terrorist act. And remember, after 9/11, they wanted to go around and start revaccinating everyone with the smallpox vaccine. We had that little nonsensical anthrax scare that was just false flag all over it, you know, and so they did that. And so out of that, Bush 2 created Project BioShield in 2003. And that started with $5.6 billion of funding, ostensibly, and that was supposed to stay in place over 10 years.
Right.
And what that did was it guaranteed the purchases of these countermeasures that they produced. And it also created for the first time this whole concept of the EUA, the Emergency Utilization Authority, came out of Project BioShield.
Is that again, Emergency
Utilization Authority.
Authority.
An
okay.
EUA. That's why right. they do all of these things now that's like, oh, this is an emergency, because they can implement that
right.
from the 2003 Project BioShield Act. And what it did was it gave them all the money they needed. It gave them emergency utilization, and it guaranteed government purchase of their products if they couldn't sell them internationally. But they weren't happy with that. That wasn't good enough. Even though they could belly up to the bar and suck in all the money that they wanted, it's like, well, wait a minute, where's our liability protection from that? So between 2003 and 2005, there were 13 or 14 different pieces of legislation in Congress that were floated up to the top to give them liability protection, and they never got any traction. There was one piece of legislation that finally, you know, came clean, and the activists started finding out about that. What do you mean? You mean they're going to fast track this? They're going to get an emergency utilization authority, which means that you don't have to do animal testing. And when the product gets, and this is the language, gets safe enough, then you can right. release it onto the public. Not safe, safe enough.
Enough.
As defined by whom? Who defines safe enough, right?
Right.
So it wasn't really working. And so finally, they snuck this piece of legislation in, which the PREP Act, it stands for Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, which is a tongue twister mouthful. So it's Public Readiness,
right.
Emergency Preparedness Act, which is the PREP Act. And how that got put into place was that at the time, Senator Fritz from Tennessee and Hatchert at 11:30 on a Saturday night on December the 17th, after everybody had already signed off on the 2006 Defense Appropriation Bill, which is like $430 million, they walked over from the Senate side, they went into the House side, and they insisted that this piece of legislation that was initially called Division E was tacked onto the back side of that Defense Appropriation Bill. Nobody in Congress had read it. Very few people in the Senate had read it, but that became the law of the land. And what that did was it gave the pharmaceutical companies, whenever there is a public emergency that's declared or a public health emergency, like a pandemic, you know, that's declared, it gave them liability of all drugs, biologics, vaccines, software, technologies, anything that they could define as a countermeasure against this emergency, against this pandemic or whatever public health emergency that they declared. They get complete liability protection. In order for you to move forward with any sort of lawsuit against the government or the drug makers or the manufacturers or the software makers, the people making the microchip chip technologies, all of that stuff, you would have to take this information and take it to the U.S. Attorney General and convince the U.S. Attorney General that they created this product under an act of willful misconduct, which is impossible to prove because now you've got to figure out how they were thinking. And unless you can convince the AG that they did this with, under an act of willful misconduct, there is no moving forward with any sort of compensation. Unlike the 1986 Act that has the injury compensation program, for which they paid out over $4 billion to injured parties, and they think that's only 10% of people who've been injured. There is a fund bucket that's supposedly set up underneath the PREP Act, has $0 in it. And in order for that to get funded, Congress has to go back and fund it, and they have to make a list of types of injuries they're willing to pay for.
Which is traditionally nothing.
Which is nothing.
Right.
And that bill did go through in the middle of the night, by the way, mostly Democrats. And there were some Republicans on there as well. And it was a monstrosity for sure. When that bill went through in 1986 and then kind of spawned all of this from that, pretty amazing. So when I come back, I want to get there's a couple of things I want to get into. I want to get into what is the trick? What is the trick? Also, what's the end game in the financial markets? And they talk about the head of Warp Speed as well, the same guy that brought us Gardasil. He had been working on bioelectronics for a very, very long time. There were articles outing him back in 2012. And so much great information for you when you're looking at why they're pressing this. But I'll tell you, as far as anyone that says I'll take whatever they give me, it's okay. I know I can. I don't even know how you would trust these people ever to take anything that they created into your body. I just can't understand it. In the way of a vaccine, it's just amazing. And should it be called a vaccine? Is it actually medicine? And that's something they address too, because I'm not quite sure it is medicine. Be right back.
This is Kate.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Melissa's out today. She'll be back next week. And I'm taking this hour to just really dive into an interview between Catherine Austin Fitz and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, both women, great women, smart women. And I'll tell you, there's some things that should jar maybe the thinking a little bit and get us to think a little bit outside the box as far as what the end game here is. Make sure you go over to Balance of Nature, Balance of Nature. Balance of Nature is a wonderful, wonderful food supplement, and it has 31 fruits and vegetables in it. So you're taking this daily, three little capsules of fruits, three little capsules of veggies, but you know you've got that intake of nutrients all the time, and it goes through such a great process by which they dehydrate that down into these caplets, and they're taking the very, very best fruit and veggies that is chemical-free. So you just can't go wrong. Go to balanceofnature.com. www.kdaily.com. It's an amazing supplement. You'll love this. You'll feel better. In about 2 weeks, you're going to feel totally different, and you'll recognize it. Everything will look better. Your skin, your hair, everything. But on the inside, can you imagine? So make sure you get over there to balanceofnature.com. Put in my name, Kate, and that is your coupon code, my first name, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. But do it. Order it. You'll be so happy you did. You'll thank me for this one. Highly, highly recommend it. Okay, let me go and play just a little bit more. And the reason when I opened the show, I talked about Operation Warp Speed is I think it's a very telling name for how quickly this is coming at us without testing. And I think that could there be a little bit of reverse psychology with this? You know, when Trump talked about Space Force, and I'll do a show on Space Force, but when it was talked about in the press that he had created Space Force, that actually wasn't true. There was a hacker a long time ago back in the beginning. Wasn't it like 2000? Way back in 2000, I can't remember the year, but this guy, Gary McKinnon, had actually hacked into the computer servers and went through a long, lengthy court system all the way for about 10 years where they were trying to extradite him back here. But he had already kind of uncovered the fact that they had been using a black budget for all of these types of things. And so sometimes, you know, when I had heard that Trump actually was trying to expose the black budgets that were being used by bringing up Space Force, it kind of put a different spin on it. So just kind of thinking outside the box a little bit with this, you never know. You never know. Could it be a little bit more of reverse psychology? Because he keeps, you know, there is still that out there where he's saying, you know what, I don't think people are going to want this, and for good reason as well. But yes, it does seem like he's being a cheerleader right now, which can be very depressing if you think that he's actually all on board. But I don't know how a guy that's all on board now I know how he feels about vaccines. He was saying it for years, so maybe it is reverse psychology. Okay, let's talk about the trick. Let's talk about the trick in these vaccines. This is Catherine Austin Fitz. Here we go.
Happened. I was reading Mary Holland's 2012 piece she did for the Yale Journal on the history of, you know, it's basically the case law on vaccine law. And for about the last year, I've had this, I'm a very intuitive person. I've had this free-floating anxiety. Something is deeply wrong, and I'm dealing with a deep state trick, and I'm being played, and I have, you know, I can't see it. I know there's a duck in the bush, but I'm like, I'm getting played. Where is it? I got to figure this out. So I'm reading Mary's thing. I'm reading it, and then I realize, wait a minute, all this protection for what Gates and Operation Warp Speed, all this protection for the new financial system, you know, and what I tell people is injectable credit cards are not vaccines. So why should injectable credit cards, or why should biowaste, or why should gene alteration have the protection of these laws and the compensation fund? Because they're not medicine. And that's when I realized that's the trick. What they've done is they've said, if we can get the protection of medicine under the law and under the Victims Compensation Fund, we can get away with murder.
Literal murder.
We can experiment. We can turn them all into guinea pigs. Because part of this, remember, from their goal, this is transhumanism. I want to be able to use robots and cyborgs and human in the same taxation and labor systems. I can save several $1 trillion by getting them integrated into one system. That's a huge moneymaker for me. And so what do I need to do that? And a lot of these things are experimentation to figure out how you're going to make that integration work. So I looked at this and I said, this is a fraud, because they're not medicine. If you define legally as a vaccine, and I think most people think of vaccine as a medicine, a medical
Yeah, it's a medical procedure.
It falls under,
you know, it's a procedure because you're injecting something, right? And so it does fall under that. And people have come to falsely believe that vaccines are safe, which they're not. They keep you from getting sick, which they right. don't. They've completely and thoroughly been tested so that they cause no problems, which is a lie. And they right. become kind of a wrap their head around thinking that a vaccine is as good for you as a shot of B12 and is as benign for you as a shot of sterile water.
That was internist Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Very, very interesting, right? Okay. And then she goes on to talk a little bit about the particles, where there's no liability, the particles in these things. Because remember how I said, you know, Windows is, they were connecting the dots with the name Windows that Bill Gates brought us, and the sort of merging of machine and man, right? And also a data. Here's my data, NSA backdoor. You can just look at everything on our computers and on our phones. But are they doing the same thing with our brains? Is this the same kind of thing? It's not medicine. So what is it? What are they doing? Here you go.
So the question is, because I think there are two issues here. One is the digital technology, and then the other is the gene manipulation. You know, and they're two distinctly different things, and we're both at risk from both of them. And I don't know how you would define the nanoparticles, if they would fit into those two categories or there's a third category.
Well, the nanoparticles, I think, would just be an ingredient, because think about like all the aluminum and mercury. Those are particles. So, and they're already thoroughly entrenched in vaccines. In fact, if a child is fully vaccinated from birth to 18 years of age, they get almost 12,000 micrograms of aluminum injected, you know, which gets picked up by the white blood cells and carried into various places, including across the blood-brain barrier. And so I think the nanotechnology, the nanoparticles, and the things that that Corvelva discovered, have you read the Corvelva report?
Yeah.
You know, and all the things that are there that aren't supposed to be there, and things like stainless steel particles and all this other stuff that's inside of these vaccines. And they found, psychotropic drugs inside of the Gardasil vaccine. And,
right.
and so, you know, there's no liability. And that's what we started earlier about talking about the PREP Act. What I've been trying to tell people is that they can literally put anything in that solution that they want, and anything. Right. So the nanobots, the little bots that they talk about, any sort of AI technology, frequencies, they could put frequencies in there, anything, and they have complete liability protection for this. So all of these people who are terrified, scared to death of this coronavirus, and they want to run to the head of the line to get this vaccine, well, you know, I hope you have your financial affairs in order before you do that.
So normally when you call something, you're describing both what it is and what the intention is. And so, you know, it's funny, Rappaport and I were trying to describe this, and we were referring to it as cybervax because we just didn't have a name for it.
Yeah, and more like a biological weapon thing. In fact, if you think about warp speed, it's not a very great name, is it, for something that is supposed to be medically tested, right? Because aren't you basically saying the opposite? We're going to get this to you at warp speed. Don't you know? We're not going to go through all the proper channels. We're not going to do any, you know, anything that's going to be a benefit to you. We're just going to get it to you. So that's kind of interesting. And no, I'm not trying to give Trump a pass when I say that. I'm just pointing out that he has used reverse psychology before. So I guess I couldn't put it past him when I look at that kind of name. It's a very interesting name to me. But yeah, this has been just a strange year. But let me give you this couple of minutes on the financial end of things, the financial market. And this is Catherine Austin Fitz. Here we go.
This is a currency. This is an economic war. It's all about, and think of it this way. You're trying to get the old to extend because the old was coming down too fast and you didn't have the new in place. And what you've got is the Anglo-American Alliance is trying to preserve its control of the global financial system. So you've got to keep the dollar going. And this has done a remarkable job of backing up the Chinese and keeping the dollar going. And if you look at how the treasury markets and the different markets performed, you know, it's like a steroid. It's a short-term fix, and it's working as a short-term fix. But you've got to get the new system in place. And one of the things you've got to do, the Chinese aren't going to take, you know, $5 more trillion to float our false prosperity. So the question is, how are you going to deal with the American people when the, you know, when you pull all the air out of the balloon? So the idea is you go from having an open currency system to you chip everybody. And then you have, you know, you basically kill currency at the retail level, and you go to a credit system where everybody has a credit on the company store. And if they don't behave, but it's much more sophisticated and complex than they ever describe in the Bible. And I, you know, the way I make it simple is, you know, Bill Gates put crappy software in all our computers. We had to update it constantly because there was always a new virus to be afraid of. And he gave a back door to the NSA and, you know, all the folks, and their business was surveillance capitalism. They just want to take the model and do it to our brains and our bodies. And DOD, that's why DOD is involved in Operation Warp Speed.
And that's also why, you know, why they called it Windows for a reason, right?
It's the one-way mirror.
Yeah. Scary. You know, there's so much of this. We're working with a very, very big club of people that have been working together for a long time behind the scenes. And along with the British Crown, along with all these different entities that do not have your welfare. Your welfare. I read an article the other day that said, and it really, really was going off about the general welfare and how this was all part of the general welfare. It has nothing to do with welfare, our general welfare. It has every single thing to do with co-opting what an emergency is, co-opting what medical means, and delivering something that they're going to make a profit on that could actually harm us, or they could actually get something from us. Because if you follow these people at all, you know that they want something from this. You know, when they do the testing, like strep throat, why don't they just test like strep throat, where they just dab the back of your throat? If you can give it to somebody so easily that you have to mask up and wear a hazmat suit and go 6 feet away from somebody, then it should be so easily transmissible. They could stick a swab in your, just barely in your throat, and get what they need to, just like for strep throat, as they have for decades. Why are they going so far into the nasal cavity? Could they be getting something? Could they be getting better DNA? Could they be building a DNA base? Who knows? See, I can't put anything past these people because they're very insidious. All of them want depopulation. Now the World Bank has said basically that COVID's going to end not until 2025. Basically, they were already handing out money, as documents have shown, that from 2018, when we didn't even have COVID-19, and presumably it was just named in February. How did they know 2 years ago? All of a sudden, AP puts out all these documents about the fact that Bill Gates's vaccine program is failing in polio, for polio, because it's actually causing polio and all kinds of other things going on, cancer, death, all kinds of other things. It's not solving anything. It's causing the ailment. And so all of this is coming to light. Look at all the exposure on these people. Because everyone's going, now, wait a minute, what am I taking? What am I doing? What is this? They're starting to look at Bill Gates with a big, huge glass, you know? They're starting to look at Fauci. More and more has come out about Fauci and Gates and all the, and Birx and all these people that have been working together for a really long time. All these vaccination companies, these pharmaceutical companies. We're starting to get a real glimpse of who we're dealing with in society and the stuff that they're doing and saying. And you know what? It's opening up a lot of eyes. And so is the narrative imploding around us? All this will take is us finally taking off the mask in America. Finally taking off the mask. That's the first step. Then the rest is gravy. The rest is you finally start to realize, you look around, people aren't dying, you start to realize how played you've really been this whole time. And then you start to go, oh my gosh, these people want some hideous, hideous things. And so that's the only way to stop all this. Otherwise, we're going to go into another lockdown in the fall. And by the fall, I mean like pretty soon here. Anyway, I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Catch a couple of clips on Brock and the gang, his parents and everything else, and catch those on katedalyradio.com. All right, I'll be right back.